Well, it's good to be in the house of God, and I believe that you all are prepared to hear God's word. I believe before you leave home every single day, especially on a Sunday morning, that you actually spend quality time before God. Not just praying for yourself, but praying for the service. Praying that God will minister to you. Praying that God will drop a word in season, a word that will revolutionize everything that you know about God Himself. So if you have your Bibles, please, I'm going to start from the book of Job. And I want us to consider this man. The title of the message, Well, Lawrence, help me. This thing is not working. Thank you. So just go to the next slide, please, Lawrence. And just go through just everything. Okay. No, too fast. Okay, stop. Thank God. So I want to speak to us this morning. Thank you, Aminata. I want to speak to us this morning is God is still working on your case. Do you believe that? God has not forgotten about you. Even though sometimes it looks so dark and gloomy, you wonder, where is this God? And in doing that, we look at 5 points to be realistic. Take your situations directly to God. Pray and believe God and His word. Incubation time, grace, and gratitude. Why did I say God is still working on your case? I was going through the book of Job again as I was preparing, and a place struck me. And it's from the Message version of it. In the book of Job, chapter 23, I'm going to read. It's amazing what he says here, okay. He says, Job replied, he says, I'm not letting up. I'm standing my ground. My complaint is legitimate. God has no right to treat me like this. It isn't fair. If I knew where on earth to find him, I'd go straight to him. I'd lay my case before him face to face, giving him all my arguments firsthand. I'd find out exactly what he's thinking, discover what's going on his head. Do you think he'd dismiss me or bully me? No. He'd take me seriously. He'd see a straight living man standing before him. My judge would acquit me for good of all charges. I travel east looking for him. I find no one. Then west, but not a trace. I go north, but he's hidden his tracks. Then south, but not even a glimpse. But he knows where I am and what I have done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I'll pass the test with honors. I followed him closely, my feet in his footprints, not once swerving for him. He says in that place, I will take my case to him. In Job, that's what he said. He says, I will take my case to him. What do you do when life throws a curved ball to you to hit? And you wonder, well, I think I've got it all sorted out. I've got it all planned out. I know exactly how I'm going to resolve all my life. But then you fell short. Things didn't go well with you. Your business collapsed. Your children suddenly disappeared from home without a trace. and you're wondering, Lord, where are you? That's what Job said. He says, I will go up north, I will go down south, I will go east and west, but I couldn't find him. And then before that, you all know God's word when he said, but I know that my Redeemer lives. I pray that will be your own testimony too. I pray that God will speak to you where you are this morning. I pray that the Almighty will intervene in your own situations and circumstances as well. And you too can look up to him and say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And because he lives, from that good old hymn, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. That's the foundation for my message from the book of Job. And somebody that did exactly that was a woman called Hannah. Hannah. This woman, which we will now read from the book of 1 Samuel, and then I will stop and then we'll talk a little about the woman Hannah. How many of you know about Hannah in the Bible? This woman, let's read from the book of 1 Samuel. It says, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Let me stop there for a minute. And the Lord had closed her womb. Who closed her womb? The Bible said, the Lord. Well, he is a just God. Why would the Bible say, God caused this woman to be barren? How can that be a good God? Why will God do this to this woman? And at the same time, allow the other concubine to take every insult at her. Look at you. You said you're a woman. You cannot even give one child to your husband. Look at me, I'm blessed. All around me, there are children all around me. But where the enemy starts scorning you is because they don't know what God is about to do. You see, every year, Hannah has always said, oh, I want a child, I want a child. But saints, let me tell you something. You can ask God everything, every time. But when he says no, there is always a reason. Like I put in the note there, he says, when we feel inadequate or inferior, it's in order to continue working out his will in our lives. That is what God wants to do. There's something in my mom's language called the king child or the princely child. I pray that God will give you a princely child. You can have 10 children. But when you have, in my mom's tongue, it's called Oluomo, which means this is a child of all children. That child will stand before you at the gate. That child is the one that will lift your head high. That child is the one that will turn things around for you. That child is the one that will say, it is okay, mom. It is okay, dad. I am here. I pray that God will give you such a child. Not that God will not give you children. I pray that God will give you children. But that God will give you children that will be so strong and they will stand for you. Not time wasters. Not the ones that you say, Lord, I wish I had just done. But God will give you such a child. So when the enemy scorns you at the gate, these children will stand for you. When the enemy starts to mock you, like Hagar did, it's because God is doing something. See, all along Hannah had asked, give me a child. Give me a child. Isn't it not surprising that every time you see about women without children that God records, it's because God wants to show his mighty acts. He said, through faith, we understand that even though Sarah, by reason of age, everything is gone, and Abraham could not, but yet she conceived and brought forth a seed. The seed is what God always asked for. The seed is what perpetuates over time. And what God wanted to do for Hannah was to give her a seed, not a child. Even though all her life she said, Lord, I want a child. Elkanah, no, I don't want any more gifts. I just want a child. But God kept it back. Have you been praying for that job? You say, I must get that job. I must be in that place. Because that's where, and nothing happens. Many times you've gone for the interview and you got there and you say, sorry, you're not qualified enough. Or sorry, you are overqualified, as the case may be for some of you. But God is working it all out. God is working on your case. God has not gone asleep on duty. God is active on duty about you. He says, I will not close my eyes until you fulfill destiny. So for Hannah, it was not a child that God was after. God had seen what was going on in the land of Israel. God had seen that a man could not control his two sons. God had seen that his people were crying out loud. And when Moses, like we shared in Christmas time, God looked down and saw that his people were crying out for help. And God said, I am coming down and give Moses. So Hannah, a child, but this child has to be from God. Wait, I say to you, it's not so easy when you go through and you say, Lord, I've done over 110 CVs. I have configured it, I have cajoled it, and sometimes I've peppered it as well just to highlight my status so that I can get a job. You know, I mean, hands up, I didn't change my date of birth, but I've had to reduce my degree just to get some mundane jobs. I say, oh, is this all you have? Well, this is all I have. Just give me a job. I need a job. But then it didn't happen. And that's what God was saying. Hannah, God is working on your case. T-Babel, God is working on your case. Brenda, God is working on your case. He's active. He's active. And when we look at it, he said, has God forgotten about me? But he says, put me in remembrance. Speak to me about those things. Don't be shy from me. And that's why I said the very first one is to be real with God. Don't put on your charismatic cloak. And say, it is well, I'm fine, God is good, I can do all things. Be real with God, please. Tell him as it is. Be candid with God. Let God know where it hurts. Lord, this child is tearing my ears apart, Lord. You need to help me about him. Yes, quote the scriptures about the child. Me and the children that God has given, yes, we are for signs and wonders, but Lord, this child needs your touch. I cannot go on with this child if you don't intervene right now. I know with some of my youth, I've had to give up, but God said, I have not given up on them. You might give up, but God has not given up. So Hannah, God is still working on your case. Let's go on in the story. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her. in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Ah! Have you been in the place where you wonder, you just pass by and people just want to edge you out? They give you this cold shoulder. You wonder, what have I done? What is wrong with me? Don't I have shore up this morning that people have to look at me with such disdain and hatred? It's because of what you carry. Sometimes, you know, like I said, I'm tested positive. I'm a carrier of God's glory. You know? Tested positive. I'm a carrier of God's glory. That glory is not for everyone. Some people will hate you for that. Some people will deride you, will scorn you, will provoke you to anger because of what you have or what you don't have. They look at you and say, oh, look at you, what do you have? But you have God. God is with you. God is on your side. And that's the confidence that you need to build into yourself. You build that confidence all around you that God is with me. God is all around me. That glory, that Shekinah glory, it diffuses anywhere I go. It has to respond to me. The environment has to answer to me because the Bible says, I have been called to have dominion. Kingdom come is the king of a dominion, of a domain. So when you go out, you stand tall. You tell the environment what it must produce. He said unto Joshua, whithersoever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, therein the Lord has given to you. I go to work, and the first thing is, Lord, today is the day that you have made. Don't jump and start running to start peddling the papers all around. Stop and take control of the atmosphere. For you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. So don't think that your job, where you are, your 9-to-5, that the enemy will not instigate and stir up hatred for you as soon as you pray. But of course, like I said the last time, some of us don't even take our Bibles to work. Okay, that's fine. You've got it on your PDA. But show it. Share this word. It says it's the truth that sets free. How will they hear? How will they know if you don't share? That's what Paul said. He says, how can we keep this truth to ourselves? How will they know? How will they be delivered if we don't say it? We need to say it, saints. So back to my message. It says, this woman provoked her. This woman provoked her endlessly. But then, in verse 9, the Bible says, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Oh, I thank God for that. It says, in bitterness, in anguish, in pain, she cried out to God. It's not every time. Let me say this to you. Thank God for your leaders. Thank God for God, the people that God has put over you. But often, when God allows things to happen in our lives, it's to draw us close to Him, to bring us to that place wherein we are with Him. Just like Jacob, you put your family aside, you put everything aside and say, Lord, I am not letting go until you bless me. Sometimes God has to bring situations like that around us to bring us to that place where we kneel before Him and say, Lord, I need you. I cannot do any other thing. Like I said at the beginning for Hannah, she's been praying for a child, but she did not know the counsel of the Almighty. It's not the child that God wants her to ask for. God wanted to give her something more. But then that something more can only be birthed in the place of prayer. Can only be given birth in the place of agony. For we have the Spirit of God in our lives. And He helps make what? Intercession for us. He put it together and presented it before God and said, Lord, your son, because the high priest of all high priests has gone through the veil, says, and constantly interceding. But we know not how to pray. But the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according to the will of God. And that's where Hannah is now. All through her life, give me a child. But now she now realized, I need to take this to the next level. I need to pray God's will. I need to now articulate and bring everything together to say, Lord, your will is what I want. I've gone round and round in circles, but I've come back to you now and I'm praying, Lord, show me what is it about this situation that I should be praying for. It's when you ask God definite things. That's why I said, be real, be candid with God. Don't skirt around the issues. If you're struggling in an area, say, Lord, I am struggling. I know there's faith, there's the word of faith. Yes, the doctor said, this is your situation. That is the fact. But the truth is God's word. Whatever the fact may be, you negate it with the truth in God's word. It's God's word that is forever established in heaven, and it will not fail. It will not fail. It has never failed. I'm a testimony of the goodness and the faithfulness of reading through this Bible and activating it in my life, seeing results in my life. I have not said I've arrived. No, I've not arrived, but I can testify word for word that God is good all the time. Yes, sometimes it doesn't look as if it's good. Like I read about Job when we started. He said, I will search for this God. I will present my case to him. I will lay it straight to him. God, why have you done this to me? Why come that everything around me is falling apart? But then God said, I am God and I change not. And because I change not, that's why you children of Israel have not been consumed. He is God. You need to understand that God is God. Finito. End of story. Finished. Let God be God and every man be liar. God will not change because of your situation. It's your situation that will have to bow to his kingdom and his rulership over your life. That is the truth of God's word. That's the truth of God's word. So Hannah suddenly realized, I need to change gear to another level. And the Bible now said, from Shiloh, even the priest, the high priest, could not discern what is it about this woman. Let's continue our story. And now in verse 11, she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me. I love that word, remember. Remember me. Lord, look down upon me and remember me. Last Sunday when we were having the worship session, I read from 2 Chronicles about Jehoshaphat. And the Bible said he went back and recounted all God's deeds to him. Are you not the same God that did that? And in the book of Isaiah, when you read, it says, put me in remembrance. Now Hannah is saying, Lord, remember me. Ah, Steve, God will remember you. God will remember you. For some of you, you've lost hope. You've lost hope. Let me encourage you this morning. God is still working on your case. And you too can pray to God and say, God, remember me. I've gone through this many times and I'm still a failure. All my family members have left me behind because I chose to follow you. They ridicule me because I chose to serve God. I was once a Muslim and now I've been excommunicated from the family that loved me dearly. I was once a Jew, but now they've really said, you have been ostracized from this family. There's nothing left for you. You have to go away. But God, remember me. God, remember me. I pray that you can say that wherever you are this morning. Like Hannah said, in her misery, in her pain, in her anguish, in her anger, I said, Lord, remember me. Always be real with God. Remember me. Remember me. That's why I'm saying in the second point, take your situations directly to God. What she did, she wasn't meant to do. She was supposed to go to the man of God and say, oh, I brought this little gift of ram and this. Please intercede on my behalf that God will give me a child. But now there's a revelation that has come unto her that this God that answered Sarah is still the same God. And because that God is alive, she took her situation to God. And when she did, things began to change. I read back from that place. It says, oh Lord Almighty, if you will only look, thanks to Babel, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Now, did you see that? Give me a son has gone away from give me children, this Elkanah. Give me children, Elkanah. I'm warning you, look, this house, I'm not going to continue coming back and forth every year to make this mundane. You have to give me children. But suddenly, look at the change. Look at the change. The Bible said, she said, remember me. Do not forget your servant, but give her a son. God will give you a son this morning. God will give you a son that will activate and be the catalyst for your destiny. When I mean a son, it's not maybe a physical son. It might be God will raise up a helper for you. Someone that will stand for you. Someone that will be a kinsman redeemer that you never knew anything about. Oh, I've got goose pimples going up on my skin because there are some testimonies I'd love to share with you, but not yet time. Not yet time. But some of you know that already. Because when God gives you a kinsman redeemer, he's a son for you. He's a son that will activate and catapult you to your destiny. It's no longer children, but a son. But a son. She said, give me a son, Lord, and I will make him, I'm just paraphrasing this now, I will make him a Nazarite. You know God said about Samson, he was a Nazarite from birth. But Hannah said, you give this son to me, and I will make him a Nazarite. Whatever God has given to you belongs where? To him. It's not yours, saints. Whatever God gives to you is not yours. But it took a while for Hannah to realize that fact. Children, Lord, give me children. No, no. Now it is. Give me a son. And that son will be consecrated to you. Where are you? When I say God is still working on your case, he wants to bring you to that place of submission. He wants to bring you to that place, Lord, it's not about me, it's all about you. Whatever you give me, Lord, belongs to you. I'm believing God, saints. One day, I'll come to you and I'll say, Timmy will stand with us and say, this is the title deed for our house, fully paid. Okay, you don't believe. I believe. So that I am free from the bondage of any mortgage or debt, and I can do God's work. I can give all I have to him. But you see, God tests the heart. God will not commit to you what he knows you will not be faithful for. I'm not talking about your tithes. No. I'm not talking about your offerings. 10%. What is 10%? I believe, God, that I will be able to give 99% and I still have more than enough to live. So I'm not running, chasing shadows all over the place. You need to begin to realize that He is able. When you tap into this resource called seed, it's about seed. Now, Hannah is not about children anymore. A son, a seed. Give me a son, Lord, and I will give him back to you. When it goes back to God, now let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. It says, she made a commitment that this child will be consecrated to you. What you gave me, I will give back to you. In verse 12, it now says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed that Mount Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. See, saying, let me just pause there for a minute. I will not tell you not to watch Christian TV or any of these things. But it's not everyone that appears on those silver screens that are men or women of God. I mean, I lately heard about one man that he was so dynamic and charismatic. Him and his wife. But then I only just heard that Zachary Timms died in a hotel room 2 years ago, with some white substance around his bed. But of course, this man was so eloquent in how he delivers the message. Now there's a struggle for what he left behind with a wife with four children. So don't believe everyone that says they are men and women of God. Here was the high priest of Israel. And there was no longer God speaking to this man, because if you read on through this 1 Samuel, what happened when his daughter-in-law gave birth, it was called Ichabod. Through the priesthood of Eli, he lost what it meant to know God. He lost everything in knowing God. This priest could not even decipher what this woman was going through. And all he could say to this woman is, you are drunk. And sometimes people will say to you, you are mad. You're a lunatic. You're a raving, mad, lunatic woman because of how you're doing. Hannah was in a place. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming, because the Spirit of God says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. When I begin to groan before God, it's God that gives the grace by the enabling of the Spirit of God that makes that possible. It's that internal groaning that God's here, because He communicates to God the language that He understands. But it is not audible or something that the human reasoning can fathom or understand. But the Holy Spirit quicken our hearts. So it was, Hannah was speaking a language that only God understood. But the priest of the time did not understand. God is still working on her case. And so in verse 15, Hannah said, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Up until now, Hannah has never done that. But she only had this one opportunity, one golden opportunity once a year, that they go to Shiloh. That is where God resides, once a year. And all these years, suddenly, she realized by the intuition of the Holy Spirit in her that there is something else. And as she began to realize, I need a son consecrated for your own glory and your own will, things change. But she said, in my deep sorrow, in my anguish of heart, I am asking of the Lord. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And I said, in that place, pray and believe in God's word. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effectual fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous woman, righteous man, righteous child brings forth much result. It avails much. It's the effectual, fervent, hot, perpetually hot. You're not letting go like Jacob did. You're not letting go and say, Lord, you belt it out. Say, Lord, I need this. That is what brings result. And of course, with that, you believe in God's word. So they went back to their place. And then in verse 20, the Bible says, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel because I asked the Lord of him. Samuel, because I asked the Lord of him. In the course of time, the Bible did not say it happened the year after she prayed. The Bible did not say it happened 2 years after she prayed. But I love the way the Bible always puts this word together. Like she said to Sarah, at the appointed time in life, at the fullness of time, I will visit you. The timing is still on him. It still depends on him. It's not about what you've prayed. You've believed God. And that's where I said incubation time. You've prayed to God. You've given out everything to God. Now it's time to be like the mother hen and start to incubate until you see your chickens being hatched. You now incubate. You stay on God's word. The fact of the matter about your health situation is this, but the truth of God's word says, this is the situation. And you too can say, like the centurion said, only speak the word, because I know what it means when someone has authority, because I'm a man of authority myself, and I know what it means when I say to one goes, he goes. So where you get to that place, you begin to wait on him. You cannot rush out of God's presence. You need to spend time with him, saints. You need to spend quality time in his presence, waiting, waiting, waiting. Sometimes it might just be a time to pluck your ears like the eagle. You go into hibernation. And this, let me tell you, is the time that you need to be careful who you share your dreams with. You need to be careful who you speak to. There are things that you don't just open your mouth and talk about, because God wants to take you through a process. And that process is only you. I'm not sure if many of you are here. Okay, Briggy, some of you will know Briggy. You heard how she shared the testimony some years back before she got her role now in Africa. It took her 12 months of persecution, endless tirade persecution at work. Every single day, the managers would tell her, you are nothing, you are no good. She will fail her PMI exam. Nothing was happening. But then there comes a time when she realized that I need to do something differently. I need to go into hibernation and incubate and bring forth what God told me in his word. You prayed, you believed God, but there's a time you withdraw. Not everyone must know what you are praying to, because they may sow seeds of doubt in you. They may sow seed of discord in you. Your dream might be too much for them to cope, and what they would like to do is to bring you down and say, it can never be. But you know what God has shared with you. If God says that I see you as the CEO of companies, why do you want to doubt that? If God says you're going to have many spiritual children, and you say, well, I don't have my own physical children, how can I be a model for spiritual children? But who said it? God. What does it matter? If he said it, he will bring it to pass. So you need to be careful. Guard it jealously. When you see what Jesus said, he would take 12, he would take 3. And he would say to the 3, what you see now, don't you utter a word about it. It's not yet time. What happened to Elizabeth? Elizabeth learned the story from Hannah. Because you know what? By the time we get to the next place in chapter 2, the same song that Hannah sang was what Elizabeth sang in New Testament. But the Bible said she hid herself. It was in her own hidden position that Mary went to be with her. And when Mary went to visit her, the baby leapt up for joy because there was a resonance of spirit. There was something in her belly that talked the same language with Mary's belly that said, you know what, there is a concordance here and this one speaks my language. Because it speaks my language, I leap for joy. You need to find and surround yourself with such people. And until the fullness of time, until the appointed time in life, before the manifestation of this, you need to guard yourself. You need to be in the place of incubation. You need to bring it to pass without so many people coming to your business. It's not everything that everybody has to know. Try and guard some things until the fullness of time. I have people, I have mentors that I share things with. But it is not expedient that I share things with everyone. Even Jesus gave us that principle. He chose 12. He took 3 to the very inner sanctum to share with them the deep secrets of what is about to come. It's not every time. Yeah, there are times we pray generally, corporately. But there are times when God wants to take you into that secret place. And while you are in the secret place, if God lays it on your heart to bring 1 or 2 or 3 to join with you, I always follow Jesus' principle. I always have myself, and I always surround myself with my 3 covenant friends. I tell you that I have 3 covenant friends. I share with them. They share with me. But what we share, it's hidden, it's closed until the fullness of time. So I want to encourage you on that one. Please don't open your mouth carelessly. What God wants to share with you, let Him share with you. And if He so wished to release you to share that, only find close people that will take that with you. Don't share with just anyone, I beg of you. Because in the process of doing that, many have moved away. They've caused a detour on the path of destiny that God had for them. And because they believe the lie of the enemy, oh, it cannot be done. It is impossible. It is not possible for you to do that. Where are you going to get the money from? Who's going to give you the money? But then surround yourself with people that will uplift you. Like I share with you, I have 3 covenant friends. It's on my favorite button. Hey, guys, come on. It's time to fast and pray all night. Where do we meet? 200 miles away. Okay, weekend, we're gone. They do that with me. I do that with them. And through that, God has brought about miracles upon miracles in our lives. So I want to encourage you, your incubation time, while you're waiting for God, be careful who you share this with. So finally, I'm going to skip to chapter 2. And it says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Ah, there's an old song from the old school saints. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. And neither is there anyone like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. Ah, that was Hannah's song. After all is said and done, she brought forth her son. She paid the vow. She consecrated that child. But guess what? She asked for a son. But in that same Bible, Hannah had other children. Oh, the seed always returns. The woman that could not bear a child before now became a mother of children. If you continue with that song, you will see it there. It says, do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. Do not talk so proudly. She has now seen that the covenant, what God wanted to do, was to bring a son that would preserve Israel, a son that would preserve a nation, a son, a seed. But she was praying for children. No. She had to change. There has to be a paradigm shift and say, Lord, I get it. You want to give me a seed, and that seed belongs to you. And when I give you that seed, it's a seed that sows in the ground, and it will bring forth much fruit. You will not hear anywhere in the Bible where the Bible talks about the other children of Hannah. But the baby boy Samuel defined a generation, restored hope, brought about the enthronement of the lineage of the Messiah, the man Samuel, the son. So when we say God is still working on your case, it's not a closed book. It's just writing the pages. And at the fullness of times, at the appointed time in life, the Almighty will roar through heaven and said, I have heard the cry of Harvey. I have heard the cry of your heart, and I am actively working on your case. I have not gone asleep on duty. I am still there. The situation is so bad right now, but he is still working it all out. Yes, we quote Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That is true. But not all things when it's out of your own sinful nature, your own negligence. No, it's things that God allows to happen in his own divine way that works together for good. So he's still working on your case. And I can rejoice with you because we will laugh together. Because we will sing together like Hannah did. That after many years of provocation, you too can say, there is none holy as the Lord. There is no rock like him. Neither is there any other rock like our God. There is no one like our God. Because he lives. His word is sure. It will come to pass. But you must believe it, saints. You must be real with him. You must be candid with him. Don't go about peddling your story. Go directly to him. Tell him as it is. Tell him as it is. He's your father. Say, Lord, I am hurting here, you know. Like Job did. I will look for him anywhere he is. I will present my case to him. I will say, God, have you forgotten me? And when you've done that in all honesty of heart, pray. Begin to pray. And as you pray, believe in his word. Whatever God's word gave to you, it might be just one word. which will be the spoken word, which will be the rhema word. That will liberate you. And in the process of your incubation, get ready. Because the time of rejoicing is at hand. The time of rejoicing is coming. Laughter, laughter. You too will say, I call this situation Isaac. Because you will laugh. Amen. Let's rise and pray. Father, I thank you. I pray that this word that has gone out will bring forth much fruit in our lives. I pray, Father, for each one of us here this morning. God, you know about where we are, what we're going through. But by your grace, I pray that you will lead us, oh God, to the place of revelation, where we too can look into your face. It might be in a deep anguish of heart, but we can say, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Because you will turn around the captivity that we might have experienced. And it will be like those that dream. Because you will fill our heart and our mouth with laughter. And so, Lord, I commit your people into your hands. The grace to run this race. The grace to tarry in your presence. The grace to incubate in your own holy place. The grace to tarry long if need be. Jehovah God, I ask in the name of the Messiah, the risen one, the only true God, Jesus, that, Lord, you will supply that grace in an abundant measure to them. I pray that those situations, Father, will receive solutions. I pray, Lord, you will open eyes to see. Lord, like you opened the eyes of Hagar to see the well. I pray that, Lord, eyes will be opened to see what you want to do in their lives. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.